back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We had a very, very favorable statement coming out yesterday from Michael Steele. Now, Michael Steele is the guy who used to be the chairman of the Republican Party, of the Republican National Committee. He was the chair. But he's a moderate guy, and he doesn't like what Trump has been doing. And so for a long time, he has been a commentator on MSNBC and occasionally CNN, and you've probably seen him, Mike Steele, Michael Steele. Well, the other day he came out and he said that Trump voters should leave the Republican Party and start a third party. That's Mike Steele, Michael Steele. Now you think about that for a second. Republican voters should leave the Republican Party and start a third party. That is a mind-blowing statement from a chairman of the Republican Party, a former chairman. Usually, when people are the chair of a party, and on a state level, not a national like his, I was the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Even if there's a wing of the party I'm not crazy about, and there certainly is in this party, I'm not going to say to them, go out and start a third party. When push comes to shove, they'll turn out usually and vote for the candidate of your party. A lot of them were for Bernie or Elizabeth Warren or this one or that one. But when push came to shove, everybody got behind Joe Biden. That's how it works. It's very important. He wouldn't have won otherwise. He would not have won otherwise. And you can have influence if you're on the fringe of a party by supporting the mainstream candidate and moving them to the left or the right, depending on where you are on their policies. And you can certainly see that with Joe Biden, some of his cabinet appointments and what he's doing in the stimulus bill and otherwise. But for the chairman of the party, the national party, Michael Steele, to say, hey, why don't you leave? I think he must have seen the percentages. I mean, I cannot believe he said that without looking at the percentages. But the polls are basically showing that when Republican voters are asked, if Trump started a third party, would you go with him or stay in the Republican Party? The majority would go with Trump. One of the polls showed about 46% of the Republican vote would go to Trump, and only about half of that, 23 or 4%, would go with the Republican Party, and the rest were undecided or wouldn't answer or, you know, were really agonizing. But when you ask, should Trump stay active in the Republican Party and take a leading role, over 70% say yeah. Over 70% say yeah. If they left and started their own party, they would be the number two party. Democrats would be one, they'd be two, and this remnant, sad remnant of the Republican Party would be three. You know, initially when January 6th occurred, the insurrection, one officer beaten to death, another officer eye gouged out, another one stabbed to the pole, another one had three fingers ripped off, two brain damaged with lead pipes on their heads, many of them beaten, some with broken ribs, over 100 officers beaten, injured. One of the insurrectionists shot and killed, another insurrectionist crushed to death, trampled. You know, when I saw that, I thought, you know, the Republican Party will come to its senses. And even the ones, many of them left already and they voted for Biden, which is why Biden won. But even the rest of them are going to say, you know, we're not a violent democracy. You can't be a violent democracy. They're contradictory in terms. The business wing of the Republican Party has got to understand, obviously, that you can't have capitalism with violence. That ends up as communism. And frankly, you can't have democracy with violence, because that ends up as communism. So have you guys awakened? And the answer is no, they've not awakened. Trump is a cult figure. And I had hoped right after January 6th, that Mitt Romney, you know, Liz Cheney, Ben Sasse, people like that would prevail. People would rally around them. Well, they have a lot of integrity. I'd rally around them, but the Republican Party is rallying around Trump. So if they take Michael Steele's suggestion, that's going to be the end of the Republican Party. I do not think they are going to take his suggestion. For one thing, he's already criticized Trump, and I think in a responsible and principled way, but so long that I think his opinions, by Republicans anyway, are discounted. So they're not going to follow him. But the other thing is, Trump is appearing later in the spring at a Republican donor conference, at a Republican donor conference. And on February 28, and this is bothersome, that February 28 is this coming Sunday. On Sunday, he's going to appear at the CPAC conference, which has been moved to Orlando, Florida. And Mike Pence has declined an invitation. Now, let me unpack that. Why is that significant? CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, convention, whatever they call it, is a truly right-wing nut job group. They are the ones, they are so pro-Trump, sort of the Matt Gaetz types. They're the ones, you may remember this, several years ago, they went, "Hail Trump." As he came in, they gave the Nazi stiff arm salute. "Hail Trump, hail Trump." And that was broadcast nationwide. "Hail Trump." The reason they moved from Washington, D.C. to Orlando is that Washington, D.C. has a municipal mask order, and they don't wear masks. Now, you would think that some Darwinian selection would have come into play by this time, but it hasn't. It hasn't. The problem with Darwin is that when somebody doesn't wear a mask, they're liable to end up infecting other people, good people, not nut jobs. But in this case, Orlando has no mask order because DeSantis, their governor, is another right-wing nut job. So they go into Orlando, Sunday, they invite Trump and Pence, and Pence says no. Pence says no. Part of it is because some of the people there were shouting, "Hang Mike Pence." You know, if I were Mike Pence, I would not go there. I would not go there. There'd be guys with little noose lapels. So Mike Pence is not going there. But Trump is. But then later on in the spring, he is going to go to Republican donor conference. That to me is bothersome. Blending the Republican Party at the donor level with CPAC. So close together. That's bothersome. Some years ago, there were these breakout conferences at CPAC, the little seminars. You know, you've been to conventions for your work or whatever, and there can be little breakout seminars on this and that. One of the titles of one of the seminars on the marquee in the hotel lobby, believe it or not, was "Lincoln, Friend or Foe." Lincoln, Friend or Foe. This is CPAC. What, the Republican Party? Have you heard of Lincoln? I mean, he is the Republican Party. It's the only reason it had respectability for a long time. Lincoln, Friend or Foe. "Hail Trump, hail Trump." And a lot of times when they'd write it out, it wasn't H-A-I-L, it was H-E-I-L. "Hail Trump." So there you have it, February 28th, this coming Sunday, CPAC. Trump will be the lead speaker. Pence decided that he would prefer not to be hanged. I agree with him. And so he's not going. And then that's in Orlando. And then later on in the spring, Trump will be trotted out for donors. For donors. And a lot of corporate donors are not giving to anybody who contests the peaceful transfer of power. 140 of them aren't. But the problem is, they may not give to a Hawley or a Cruz or to a Trump, but the amount they give, while you and I would think is a lot of money, is dwarfed by the biggest donors in the Republican Party. Dwarfed. Eline of the Uline Company in Illinois put in about $70 million. Sheldon Adelson, hundreds of millions of dollars. Steven Schwartzman, hedge fund guy, over $10 million. All of the people at that level, Adelson has passed away, but the others, they have not said they won't give to Trump. They will give to Trump. They will give to Trump. And so as a practical matter, this is going to appeal to the truly large money donors, and there, that's what you have. So we will stand by and see the direction of the Republican Party and frankly, the 2022 elections, which are going to show primaries between the Liz Cheneys and their challengers. It's going to tell a lot about where that party's going. I talked a little bit before about voting rights, and one good piece of news, the number one bill in both the House and the Senate in the new Congress is a voting rights bill. H.R. 1, voting rights, is sponsored by every member of the House. Every member. That's very, very rare. I mean, you take a look at those members, you have some that are conservative Democrats, some liberal Democrats, then you have the Squad and others. Everybody's behind it. Why are they behind it? They're behind it because something we have talked about on the show a long time, and it amazes me it hasn't happened already, is why is there not uniformity among the states in presidential elections? We have one president. This is for president. Why is there not uniformity? Why don't they say you'll have early voting in all states and pick 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks? I don't care what it is, uniformity. Number two, there'll be X voting machines for every 10,000 people. Have the experts tell you it is mandatory. It should be mandatory. Number three, you will only throw people off of voting rolls if X, they haven't voted in 3 years, not 2 months, and not selectively. Number four, voting machines will be bought from this or that vendor. They'll be inspected. None of this happens. There will be no excuse absentee voting for 4 weeks or whatever. None of this happens. So all these states are all over the place. Then Arizona just passed a law, believe it or not, it's in the legislature. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. It's proposed, I think it's passed, that says the legislature can override the primary. The primary is a beauty contest. And the legislature decides who the electors are. You can't have that. You can't have that. You flat out can't have that. You have to take away the certification power of the secretaries of the state, the governors, because Republicans will screw it up. And what you have to do is say, look, if in the primary, whoever gets a plurality in the primary, and you don't split it by congressional districts like Maine and Nebraska, that person gets the electoral votes, period, end of story. We go to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.